This episode of Earl Grey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for iPhone, iPad, and iPod, Android, Kindle, Windows Phone, plus Mac or PC. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Marina Sirtis, Deanna Troi from Star Trek The Next Generation. You're listening to Trek FM.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
It's time for another serving of Earl Grey, our dedicated TNG show. I'm Philip Gilfus, sitting in the Senate chair this week, which feels a little wobbly for some reason. Oh, well, I'm joined by my co-host, sitting at the op station, Daniel Prue. Daniel, your uniform looks a little more homemade than usual. What's going on?
Listen, Philip, I really wish you didn't bring it up, honestly. I had a unfortunate hot chocolate incident earlier, and I had to kind of hobble what I had together. I was planning on going to Star Trek, convention in Las Vegas this year, and this is all I had laying around. Listen, it's awkward, Philip. I'm sorry, I made a little mess, and now I have to wear this.
I know, and it's red too. I don't know what your blue shirts are going to say. All right. Well, I'm also joined by my other co-host at the Bridges Engineering Station, Darren Moser. Darren, you just seem to be making computer noises and pressing buttons on a black screen. Is there something wrong with LCARS?
Oh, Philip, it's the latest in filmmaking technology. Instant effects. They're on your Blu-rays before the movie's even finished.
I see. Oh, okay, as long as it's in HD, I don't care. All right.
Yes, on your HD DVD before it's even finished.
Well, if folks can't tell, we're going to talk about something that is talked about on the network here, but not here on Earl Grey, because it's never been done. And that's fan film productions of TNG. And I'm sure you're asking yourself, what fan film production of TNG? And that's the answer. There aren't any. And so we're going to be talking about why that is this week. And so I just wanted to start off with basically sort of like a where we are at Earl Grey about background with fan productions. So since I'm first, I'll hog it up. In the mid-2000s, that's when I started to get to know a few of them. Of course, these are more of like the people in a warehouse or their dad's brother's cousin's house's garage would be building, bridges of the NCC 1701 and going outside and filming things. And so there were a few of those episodes where you would actually like get the DVD disc. You know, you'd go on the interwebs and see the trailer and get them down, and they'd be the like sort of different ships of the 23rd century. So it wouldn't just be like the original Enterprise or Kirk or anything. And so that's where I was like, oh, that was cool. That's what, and I kind of tuned out. And of course, it's a different animal these years. But Daniel, what's sort of, do you have any interaction with any of the fan productions that's been going on?
Oh, no, nope. Not at all. Just, I happened to notice them when they're released because, well, you know, being here on the network and being involved in the fandom, you kind of, it's unavoidable, really. So, I'm a passerby as far as this subject is concerned. I stand there and these things happen and they go by me. And that's kind of how it works for me.
Ooh. All right. And Darren, what about you? What's your viewership of Trek fan film productions?
Well, I think one of the best original, back in the beginning of fan films was Troops. And that one was just really amazing because not only did they have stormtroopers like out on the desert, but they had, like, it was like the cops and, I'm so sorry. You said Trek. boy, oh, this is awkward. No, I, like Daniel said, in the Babel conference and in the internet in general, when a new fan film comes out or a fan film Kickstarter or Indiegogo comes out, cause those come out for like a 2-to-1 ratio, I'd say. And, when you're alerted to a new fan film, yeah, we want to check it out. We want to see what other people are doing. And, I was you know, there's the big players. I don't know if we're listing all of our favorite fan films right now, but yeah, it's there are definitely some that I enjoy.
We are. 1, 2, 3, go. I want to say it once.
Renegades, Axanar, Star Trek Continues, and why am I the only one naming things? But no, there's a lot of great fan films out there that are fun to watch. And really with the internet, I mean, that's why we get to watch them. You know, it's even if you could make a next gen fan film in the day, what are you going to like distribute your VHS on the, at the conventions or something, make a lot of copies in your van? Is no, it's not going to happen. No, not without the internet.
With your van down by the river. So, you know, I just start with the simple question first. And maybe there's obvious answers, but I'll ask it anyway. You know, why isn't there a TNG / 24th century based fan production? And of course, you know, in the news, legal stuff going on. So that aside for a moment, just pretending, you know, that little thing doesn't exist for a moment. But Darren, why, in your opinion, is there no TNG-based fan films out there? Why is it TOS or even Enterprise-based right now?
Well, are we discounting Renegades? Because I kind of see that as the TNG / DS9 / Voyager. I mean, yes, it's post-Voyager, but it's kind of in that... I mean, you said 24th century. That's like 100 years. So that's within that block. So are we not counting that?
No. That's a good point. I guess, you know, when I think of the fan films, it's usually...
Are you thinking of, like, Picard, you know, replicating those characters?
I don't know. You tell me why is... I guess if you're going to count Renegades, why is Renegades the only player in town in the 24th century?
I would say the biggest thing that holds back next-gen era, like Picard era fan films, is the set. I mean, there seem to be like 20 TOS sets strewn around the world that people have built. You know, not that it's a simple set. I mean, it's still very complex, but the Enterprise D bridge is just so big. I know it's not actually that much bigger, like volume-wise, but it's just, it seems so much more daunting to build, to support the ceiling, to just get it lit. And, you know, it's just, I think that is the biggest hurdle to creating a fan film, which is why, you know, in the scenes in like Renegades, like we were just talking about, you know, they had shots of a galaxy-ish class, you know, had the same bridge module, but they used, I know they used the bridge that's being restored by the Save the Bridge campaign, but they green screened all the rest. So it was like they just had the horseshoe and the chairs and the front consoles, but then they keyed in the rest of the bridge, you know, because it's not done yet, so they still needed to do that. But until now, there's just no option to do that unless you build a completely new bridge. And that's on the technical side. But, you know, it's a really good question, because I would totally watch, you know, 5, 10, as many as they make fan films that have to do with that era. I think it's a great era. I think it would be fun. I don't know why I listed off 5 and 10. Like,
I was thinking you were going to say, I would watch 5 or 10 minutes at one. Yeah, totally.
But no, like I said, I would watch it if it existed. But yeah, I honestly think it's the technical ability to recreate that look is just coming into affordability.
Okay, Daniel, what about you? Is it simply that it's a bridge too far?
Yeah, that's...
No bridges?
That's the practical reason for sure. I think another part of it, too, is the fact that the 24th century is so well covered, you know, between TNG and Deep Space Nine and Voyager 2. But obviously, 90% of the reason is because building those sets is much more difficult. Also, I do think that there's an element of the fact that a lot of the people who are now doing fan films grew up with TOS. I don't think that we have gotten to the point where people, like I say, us, are starting to do their own kind of fan films yet. And maybe when they do, they will want to do kind of a TNG or kind of a thing. But a lot of these people, I think, who are writing or producing or directing or maybe have the extra cash to kind of fund these things, maybe a little bit older. And that's probably where their fandom lies, is in TOS. They're more interested in a TOS show than a TNG-based show.
That's a good point. The demographics of the creators, I'm sure, plays a part.
Well, I'm thinking of something I enjoyed, Red Shirt Diaries. Mm. And certainly both of those creators were our age, if perhaps not even younger, or at least me. And, you know, when that was a low – well, I'm not saying it was a low cost because I know they had a campaign. And you know, but it's, you know, it's someone in front of a CGI screen, you know. But do we not have like enough TNG nostalgia?
There is a void when you look at it, like, oh, in the scheme of other fan films that are out there, there aren't a lot from this era. But there are other things that come to mind. There's the O'Brien at Work comic, you know, that it takes place in this era, but it's not, I mean, it's not a fan film, but its humor and its premise lies within, you know, a comic strip, you know, format. And I think,
you know, and
things. I mean, there's been comics.
Yeah, we get a lot of popular culture based around TNG. I mean, you know, like for example, the Family Guy stuff, including the game that they came out with. Like, and it was so big in the 90s. It was just so massive that it was everywhere, and you couldn't look anywhere without seeing it. Like, there are so many memes and stuff from TNG. Maybe it's just the fact that there's just not as much TOS also. That they're kind of filling in that gap.
Or not enough time has passed from Next Gen, like maybe another 10 years, and it's like, oh, I want to kind of, I miss that. I want to nostalgia it more. Whereas, well, but that's a good, another interesting thought is just the way, like you've said several times, Daniel, you know, how much TOS we got and how long it's been since that. And how you had to go about watching it. Whereas now, I mean, I know we all feel like the 90s was 5 years ago and it wasn't, but you know, it actually wasn't that long ago. And we've been so saturated with it since because, you know, of DS9 and Voyager and just all this Trek rolling. There hasn't been that gap of, we need to fill this with fan films with our own stories.
And you know, Darren, you were joking earlier, but think about Star Wars, right? How many Star Wars fan films and parodies?
Tons.
But like, how many of those do we see of the prequels compared to the original trilogy? You know, so it's like,
whoa, Daniel, are you comparing in a SAT format that the prequels are to the Holy Trilogy as TNG is to TOS? Because, good sir, you can find another podcast if that's what you're comparing.
No, of course I'm not.
No, he's saying the prequels are a fan film made by a Mr. Lee. No, I'm just kidding.
What I'm just suggesting is that, yeah, it might have an element of time associated with it that the original series, much like the original trilogy in Star Wars, had decades to kind of grow this love of the franchise and kind of and inspire these people. You know, maybe you're 10 when you see Star Trek for the first time or Star Wars, and then you want to become a filmmaker. And then finally, when you get old enough to create something of your own, of course you're going to go back to the original. Of course you are. That's what inspired you. And maybe it's this kind of same thing. Like, it was just the fact that these people saw these things when they were younger. And again, we haven't gotten to that the next generation of fan filmmakers yet.
Well, because next year in 17 will be the 40th anniversary of Star Wars and the 30th anniversary of the beginning of Next Gen.
Right.
Boy, I feel old now.
Well, I'm glad we finally decided to do this. We should have done it a long time ago.
100 and something episodes ago, we should have done this.
Yeah. So, like, from a production standpoint, I mean, what would you guys be interested in as far as a TNG fan production? Because I don't even know what the term to use. You know, is the modern era now just fan productions of where you're getting in Trek actors and, you know, having these big fundraising? Or can we even go back to the original time of where it was just like guys in a garage or a warehouse or a thing or have a studio with a CG blue screen? Like, what would be your imagining of a TNG fan production of Daniel?
I think in general, as far as Star Trek fan films go, is maybe a little more, like Darren mentioned, troops, earlier, which was a fantastic, fun, and silly kind of...
Are you going to pitch Lower Decks to us?
No. Well, no, I would. That would be great. Actually, that would be fantastic. If they want to do, like, you don't even have to show the bridge. You could do, like, ensigns, you know, or
just build a lot of really good corridor in set.
Exactly. Or you could do the live action, you know, like the Miles O'Brien at Work stuff. But it doesn't have to be this big bombastic thing. It doesn't actually have to be essentially a second TNG. Just be creative with it. Just you could have a lot of fun with it, and just you don't have to follow the formula that Star Trek has kind of developed before. As long as you exist in that universe, I think that's enough for most people.
And then what about you, Darren? I mean, should it be? And of course, it could be anything. But like, you know, your first thought, is it like a movie, or is it like a web series, or is it just like, you know, a series of short YouTube clips every 5 weeks? What would be your thought?
I mean, it does kind of come down to what Daniel said, where you compare like the original series to Next Gen, and it's like 79 episodes versus 178 episodes. So a lot of stories have been told about the crew of 1701D. But yeah, I think all it just takes is someone having an idea and really wanting to just make it happen to really bring it to screen. Where, yeah, I mean, you could do like something like Redshirt Diaries, where it's a webisode, you know, just pick a crew member and they in their little tiny corner of the Enterprise, because it's, you know, giant ship.
We don't have tiny corners. Let's be honest. So.
Giant, smooth, curving corners that are acres large. But yeah, a web series or just a one-off. Fan film that's an episode, you know, that's 45 minutes or so, structured around, I guess you'd have to, and that's the thing though, you just, unless you're recreating everything digitally, I'm like, engineering, my goodness, that's a massively complicated set. You know, the bridge, I mean, the bridge and engineering are the two sets that they always spent time at. So even something like the observation lounge, I mean, you could try to pick a place to bottle it, to not have to go to so many places.
Well, for engineering, all you need to do is make the table, and you just have the CG, the room.
It's definitely doable. It's just no one's done it, at least to my knowledge. I'm sure there's someone out there who's done all this, and they're just yelling at their podcast.
And I will say this, and I'm going to preface this now. I'm going to try to phrase everything I say. Try not to be. I don't want to be negative. But what I will say is what, especially early on, what all of the fan films for TOS did that I would not want to see, is recasting of TNG people with, you know, amateur actors. I don't like that idea very much anyways. Like, if you're going to tell a story, tell your own story with your own characters. I can get more engrossed in that than I can when somebody else is playing this other person not as well as the other person did. That's kind of, you know, tough for me. So I wouldn't want to see some guy shave his head to be Picard. I just wouldn't want that. So I would like to see like an original kind of a thing.
Yeah, that's going to be one of my questions, because, and I agree, of course, that's a personal take, because I know people like Star Trek Continues, which is in that vein. But like the early ones I remember, and I'm trying to remember what it was called, Star Trek Farragut? I think I might be getting this wrong, but it was a brothers who had this, and their friends who were doing an original series, but they were on the USS Farragut. And so they had their own ship.
Like a sister
symbol.
Ship to the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a Constitution class ship, of course, so they wanted that familiarity. But it was a whole new crew telling that story in that time, that's what I enjoyed, that they were telling their own story. So like, and this would be a question for y'all too, because, you know, Next Generation, what are you talking about? Are you talking about the 7 years on television? Are you talking about the movie era? Are you talking about the Enterprise E era? I mean, what would be your guys' imagining of at least what time you would want this fan production set in?
You know, I think there's a lot of untapped potential on the Yamato.
We barely knew her.
Maybe. Did you untap the potential of the warp core? Is that what you did, Daniel?
Maybe not.
Yeah, I would just place it, you know, right in the middle of TNG. I mean, heck, we've written our own episodes.
Which costume do you want them to wear? No collar or collar?
Obviously collar. I mean, is that even a question, Philip? But yeah, I kind of like the Lower Decks-ish idea that we've been kind of tossing around. Where
Ensigns is the working title.
Ensigns, yeah. And they're all ensigns. Maybe there's a junior grade thrown in the mix. You know, he's been there.
Oh, he's the dot. Longer.
He's the big
dot
man.
Over the eye is one pip.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's good. I like that. That's
Aaron
good.
Harvey, we need a t-shirt. Yeah, no, I think that a Lower Decks kind of thing, sorry, ensigns, would work well to just, you know, not, again, like our show
now
did.
I'm picturing it's almost like Friends. Like, central perk is ten
you're
forward.
You're basically doing ENG, RPG, TNG.
Yeah,
know,
kind
because,
of. Yeah, kind of.
And you have, maybe you pull select audio clips from all of TNG, so you make Riker say something, but it sounds like it, and it's only heard over the comm or something like that.
That's only if we set it on the hood.
Oh, let's go. That's true. Oh, you're saying not even on the Enterprise. I was saying on the Enterprise.
Well, you know, and they kind of did that, like we mentioned earlier, with the Redshirt Diaries. I mean, that's essentially the plot of the Redshirt Diaries, is what does a Lower Deck crew member think of these crazy adventures? I mean, the Redshirt Diaries is essentially the Picard conspiracy kind of thing. Like, who believes this crazy nonsense that you get into? You know, the regular people on this ship.
The
how
Kirk
is this affecting
conspiracy.
Them? Exactly. So it's a cool idea, and you can have fun with it, or you can go serious with it like we do in Lower Decks. But I do think there is a huge amount of potential, and just stepping a little bit aside of what we're talking about, I would be ashamed if the new show doesn't pick up on this thread and kind of have some, you know, lower crew members as part of the cast that we get to follow as well.
And maybe like a shark on a skateboard or a dolphin on a skateboard. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. You guys can take that. It's not an intellectual property of Earl Grey. But you know, I think one of the things you talked about with TOS is that perhaps people felt like it was unfinished because you only had 3 years of a 5-year mission. Whereas maybe other people feel like TNG was finished. And so they don't have that hunger for more.
It had an ending.
Well,
yeah, and again, like I mentioned before, it's not just that, but we pick up that story in Deep Space Nine, and we finish all those threads, and then the threads that aren't finished there, we pick up in Voyager. Like, we get 15 years of timeline goodness that we don't necessarily feel the need to kind of go back and be like, oh, what happened here?
And then I guess like an element, I haven't actually seen Horizons, but just having heard about it, I know you have, Darren, maybe you can talk about it more intelligently than us. But like, even with Enterprise, there could be that feeling of lost potential. Like, there's still a story to tell. There's still a universe we could have explored, you know, and so maybe that's what those folks' motivation is.
Yeah. With Star Trek Horizon, which I enjoyed, it was nice to see a fan film that wasn't in TOS era. And again, now they did the one man band take 4 years option, which is totally viable, but again, filmmaking tools are getting so inexpensive, and that literally one person can make all the sets digitally and insert into them and just go from there. So I think honestly, it's only a matter of time till we see a next gen, if you're legally allowed to make it, a next-gen fan film. And hopefully it's using new characters or another ship. And that would be, I think that would be really interesting. But no, but seeing Horizon, is it Horizon or Horizons? I think it's Horizon. We'll go with that because it's the name of the planet or whatever. It's a good name. But it was fun, and I liked... Actually, my favorite scene of Star Trek Horizon was when the upper crew, the command staff, is at this kind of cabin in the woods retreat after their mission, and they're kind of de-stressing and
row,
calming
row,
down from their
your boat.
You know, yeah, we've seen stuff like that before. So, but it was funny because it was just, you know, it was just a cabin. It wasn't dressed up super 22nd century-ish, but they had some really good acting in that scene and really drew on the characters as just people. And I felt, of anything, that scene really connected me to the characters, and that helps you buy into when they do all the Star Trek fantastical stuff of obelisks and ancient Romulans, and you know, the everyone seems to like talking about the was that super powerful race who made the gateways?
Guardians?
No.
Preservers? Iconians.
Iconians. Yes. Yeah, everyone's okay. Jumping on the Iconian bandwagon. But
are they the Section 31 of?
No, they're the Jeffrey Combs.
No, not so much Section 31, but they do play. Yeah, they do have a place though in Star Trek Horizons. But I mean, also Star Trek Online uses them, and they seem to be very popular in the books as well. So,
but yeah, what is the name of that episode? Contagion.
Speaking of the alma mater.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Well, they have their own symbol. They have their own like. Icon? I don't remember that.
That's the Iconians, yeah.
Yes, the Iconians have their own icon.
It's an eye.
And it looks like an eye. It's really lame.
Are they the Incredibles?
That would be awesome.
Do, 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 do.
And I guess, you know, do you think TNG needs a fan film, or are we being forgotten? I mean, look, we do a weekly podcast. They shouldn't be forgetting it. We talk about it every week. But, you know,
we are keeping the brand alive.
Exactly.
Three men at a time.
Single-handedly.
But is there just not that TNG pack? Which I don't think it's necessarily, I don't think anyone's doing a Voyager or a Deep Space Nine one. Are we just sort of like the moderate middle of the road fandom people are just like, you know, TNG, not motivated to go build something.
I do, like I said, I do feel there's going to be one in like the next 10 years, because we're going to be far enough from it that a lot of the nostalgia is going to kick in, and the technology is going to be there that it's way more practical to shoot. But again, like most fan films, you know, it takes the time to get a good story, and there's a lot of good stories that's already been told. So coming up with that's the hardest part.
You know, it's also, there are also like other elements that I didn't think of right away that are easier in TOS. Like the costuming is much easier in TOS. It's easier to do like even just the uniform. But on top of that, the makeup. At most, you have to put ears on. In TNG, you might have to do Klingon makeup or Ferengi makeup or whatever.
There's only one Klingon in Starfleet, Daniel. Why would you need...
Well, you have
there's
to
only
fight
one
the
android.
You have to fight
you don't
someone.
Need to...
Yeah. And if you fight the Klingons in TOS, you just have to... we don't have to get into that. But
speaking of lawsuits. well, you know, but I was thinking the reverse, though. Like, to me, the bridge isn't per se hard, because you're just using computer screens. Like building the TOS bridge with all the gloob glob knobs and screens and all the TNG bridge, it's just computer screens.
Well,
they
I mean,
program the graphics.
But Philip, I mean, let's think about this. A 2x3,
you can find carpet anywhere.
A 2x3 foot square of knickknacks you can get at Hobby Lobby is probably $20. A 2x3 computer screen is a little more expensive. So even then, it is actually a little harder to do, depending on how you're going to actually build it out. But you
know. And then, of course, I don't know, and every other Galaxy class bridge I saw looked completely different from the Enterprise.
It's
when I saw
true.
It on screen.
That's true. True.
Yeah, yeah, including the other Enterprises that we see. So
yeah, I would, and also, I mean, I wonder if people would maybe more gravitate towards doing a Nemesis style or a First Contact style uniform, because those seem to be very popular, almost over the classic Next Gen tunic.
They might be slightly easier to make as well, but I'm thinking that the bridges are more complicated.
Oh yeah,
you know, so that's the problem. And it's probably a balance there too. Like you have to kind of, again, like TOS is just the easiest thing kind of to duplicate, to emulate. So
a single person can make a 70s TV show, you know, 50 years later. So does that mean we have to wait until, is it like 2030? We'll be able to make next gen like that.
I do think that Philip has a really interesting and a good question here, right? Because you mentioned Horizon, Darren, and Enterprise was only 10 years ago, but we still don't have a TNG. And I don't actually, like, I know that there are a lot of these little factors, but I don't know if I can point to one single reason why someone...
It's probably not one single reason. It's probably multiple.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Maybe 47?
Maybe not that many. But yeah, I think it's technology, it's a story, it's distance from the source material, it's finding a new story to tell that hasn't been told or retold. As Shar and Tristan Onto the Journey often like to point out, that many, even TNG stories, like to get retold in Voyager and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and again, this maybe goes down to the source of fandom, because when I would say to you there's a Star Trek fan production, you're immediately going to think, oh, it's a TOS set. And I mean, when you brought up age, you know, I mean, I think about in the 2000s, you know, it wasn't people that were like, because look, the original series has been off decades. Okay,
if you think about 50 years,
yeah, if you watched it on the reruns. Even then, I mean, it was not like it was a bunch of like 20s and 30 year olds who were doing it, and still 20, 30 year olds who were doing it in this decade. And so, is it just something about the feel of TOS that makes it like, oh, I want to recreate that? Like, in other words, I guess it's this: if you want to be in the Star Trek world, what's your first one you would choose? Because it seems to be most people's answers is TOS Kirk era. I want to wear that uniform and have that tricorder and walk down.
But that's a good point, because I mean, as much as they are both Star Trek, they're also very different. And like you said, Philip, maybe just Kirk's era lends itself more to that kind of a production. I mean, if I was going to make a next gen show, I'd probably try to put a lot into the philosophy or the moral conundrum, like, even though that's not what every episode was about, that's just kind of more the tone that you feel. It would just do the drumhead
too. And you learn stand-up comedy in the holodeck, you know.
Hey,
you know, maybe in like 20 years from now, when Whoopi Goldberg's looking for work, we can have her come onto our fan production and be Guinan in this one.
Guinan, you never aged at all,
as long as Mark Twain doesn't follow her. Oh man, I'm sorry, and this is the meanest I'm gonna get about this, but the only thing worse that I can think of than Mark Twain in TNG is a fan production version of Mark Twain in TNG. Is the only worst thing I can think of.
No, yeah, I'm thinking like more like high school play level. Like mustache keeps falling off the kid. I'm Mark Twain. Well, is there, and I don't know, because I don't have an answer, so this is going to be a dumb question. Is there a next generation, ha ha ha, of fan productions that isn't, you know, TV movies? You know, and I keep hating to come back to, even though I like it, Red Shirt Diaries. That's a very different way of thinking outside the box. Like, it's just going to be one person. Well, I mean, it's more people than that, but basically one person, screen, that's the whole show. And it's just a couple minutes. So it's like, is there something else that can be called a fan production that would celebrate TNG?
I think it's called Galaxy Quest. It was a little bit bigger than a fan.
Get off the mic, Darren.
You know, and again, we've mentioned we've mentioned Miles O'Brien at work, and there are different ways that people celebrate their fandoms, and it's.
I mean, I feel like maybe if someone wanted to create like an audio game show based on TNG.
I mean, they're still writing novels.
Or maybe
there's
a VCR board
being
game
told.
Of some sort.
VCR? What the heck is that, Daniel?
Yeah, because it's, I mean, that's you know, who would, a VCR game, who would, you know, 20 years later try to recapture that VCR moment using today's technology, you know? But I mean, that's interesting because, I mean, a lot of that is experiencing what we experienced. And so it's a nostalgia factor, but that whole, that sort of like that second step or third or fourth step of wanting to be in that world, of wanting to sit in that wobbly handmade captain's chair or ops or con or, you know, like, I don't know. Like,
it just,
Darren,
has the iconicness.
Yeah. If Darren, if someone came to you and said, I'm, you know, don't, however small or big, I'm doing a TNG fan production, what would be your first thing of like, this is what I want to do to be a part of it?
I would say just visit the set, but, oh, you mean contribute? I would say,
Patreon. Yeah. It's called, if you go to
patreon.com/ give Ensigns. Us money. Ensigns.
That's Ensigns with an I.
It's happening now, guys. It's happening. But I would say, you know, maybe doing some of the, like, Okudagrams, like designing the layouts of the panels and such, and then maybe have a background.
Darren, that's a copyrighted
role word.
You're going to have to call it something else.
It's not a copyrighted word. It's his name with O-grams after it.
The Teddy Grahams people got so much from Roosevelt Estate.
That's awesome.
That's even more copyrighted. Okay, Phil, you're going the wrong direction.
They're Moser
O'Grams.
Oh, man, we are in such deep trouble with Nabisco right now. Oh, man.
Oreo Grahams. No, wait, no, not that.
And would you be someone who would do that whole, like, as I see from the fan productions of, like, watching all the TNG close-ups and trying to get it exactly like it? Or would it be something more of, like, it's going to be a different perspective?
Well, I mean, it definitely – I would do the lighting a lot more like the TV show and less like Generations.
Wait. Is your production near a sun?
Yeah. You know, you're not going to know because let me show you. I mean, you have to come up to the bridge for me to tell you. I can't just tell you over the comm because that would – too few seconds.
Do you remember in Star Trek 2009, right? Mm-hmm. Opening scene, and the Narada comes through the black hole, and they're right next to a star, and the captain comes on the bridge and he says, "Polarize the view screen."
And it's like
it's a great little bit, and I think Picard forgot how to do that in Generations. I just wanted to say
we don't polarize anything after the 23rd century.
Yeah, that's Enterprise. our polarization generator got knocked out. That's true. Well, especially since that was glass or that was transparent aluminum, obviously, and then they just added that effect, whereas Picard's an actual view screen.
So are you saying that Star Trek IV is actually the beginning of the JJ-verse? Is that the point? It was really Kirk that was responsible for the JJ-verse. Or not Kirk, it was actually Scotty that was responsible for the JJ-verse.
No, we can blame Kirk. No.
Okay, so you'd be the production, the Zimmerman-esque, Okuda-esque.
Yeah, I do
role.
Like production design. I think that would be a lot of fun, especially if we were doing a next gen era and maybe doing a similar ship, you know, so you have enough of a feel where you can tell it's that same look. Cause that's the hard thing, is once you deviate too far to make it your own ship, is it still in that universe? Like, or that era, like it's, you can't go too far from the look of the inside of the 1701D before it's just extra sci-fi.
And then let me ask you this one last thing, Terry. What would be the one detail you'd want to see done right? Like, okay, guys, you know, whatever. I know it's small, but there's this one thing. If we're going to do this, I want it to be done right.
I don't know. I keep thinking of the corridors or the doors to, like, the holodeck. Like, that's just such an iconic door that you have to get right.
Computer.
I mean, even though there's a half-inch gap under it, it's totally airtight, and don't even worry about that.
Oh, yeah, you can definitely escape the Borg from that. All right, Daniel, someone comes to you and says, I'm doing a TNG production. You have a blank check on however you can be involved. What is it going to be for you, Daniel?
Probably
Captain Daniel.
Rank Admiral.
Do you mean Danmiral? No. I would say
he's gone crazy. He's gonna kill us all.
You would just be like, you know, the sitting in the chair admiral of where they just cut you don't even see the bridge. They just cut the video of you sitting in a chair and da 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 da, and then like, thanks, admiral. And they're just responding to your video.
You know, with a franchise as big as Star Trek, I know it's difficult to keep things contained. And sometimes I feel like they didn't have this position even on the actual show. But I would definitely be continuity supervisor.
Ah, it's script supervisor.
No, okay, you can say that.
Continuity czar.
Yeah. No. Script supervisor, I mean, Darren, you tell me. But that's a continuity person. It's basically making sure all the notes and everything. So that'd be cool. You'd basically be the fan on scene.
Yeah, you can't go warp 10. Sorry. You can't do it unless you want to turn into lizards. But that's it. Those are your two options. So... that kind of thing.
He'd be the special consultant for Star Trek. Yeah, the script supervisor, I mean, it would be handy if they knew a lot of Star Trek, but they're usually more making sure everything's been shot and everything looks the same day to day. So they're often taking pictures of, like, what was the character wearing this day and how was it put together, so that when it's supposed to be 3 seconds later in the film, but it's actually been 3 days, it actually looks the same.
Now, and Daniel, would you want to be the science advisor?
You know, that was actually going to be my second thing, was going to be the science advisor. Yeah, that would be pretty cool as well. And, you know, bars aren't set as high for fan productions. So, you know, in case I messed up, that'd be okay, too.
Right. Guys, I'm not a doctor.
Well, let's just invent this technobabble and we'll get out of that plot hole in no time, Jimmy.
Now, of course, there's no question. I would want one of two roles, possibly both, writer and or actor. So I don't need to be.
I wrote this scene. It's like he's tall. He actually wears glasses still in the 24th century. See, I don't even know why.
That's the thing about fan productions. You can just be like some, you know, have a beer belly and glasses, and you're still in it because it's a.
Hey, wasn't that Shatner's role in all the movies?
BYOC, bring your own costume. Everyone just brings their own costume.
Exactly. So that would be, I mean, not the writer, but just love to be a writer or just like Ops Guy. Well, I don't know. I'm too old to be an ensign. Well, no, that's a lie because TNG had like 80-year-old ensigns walking around. So I'll be that guy.
I've thought of my story. This is what I would do if I was doing a Next Gen fan production. I know it's slightly similar to All Good Things in a little bit, but I would love to do a Fractured story.
Star Trek Fractured.
All Star right, Trek Fractured. So like in Voyager.
Wait,
where,
is this based on the new app timelines?
No. It's not based on the timelines app. But no, I mean, I really liked the Fractured Voyager episode where they literally walked between, you know, the different episodes. And so you would be able to, I mean, that's because that's just so nostalgia driven. You know, and you could have them walk into an episode where the Klingons are aiming a blaster at the warp core, or I don't know, just.
Whoa. Maybe did you say blaster?
One section, the saucer has been separated and there's no rest of the ship. But I think that could be an interesting story.
All right, guys. Well, it sounds like, you know, we sort of listed all the troubles and tribulations. No, wait, that was a DS9 episode. You know, I mean, would you guys be, and I'm ready to press the activate page. I mean, would you guys be willing to, like, man, you know, I would love to give like $10, or is it just like, you know what, yeah, I think someone should do that. You know, how, on your scale of things that should happen in Star Trek, where do you think TNG fan production should be? On a scale of 1 to 47, Daniel.
A scale of 1 to giving money to it?
Yeah, I would put... Well, okay, let's again, I'm trying to put this in the diplomatic, nicest way possible. I'm not a big fan production person in general. So I would, that would all be super low on my scale. So let's say from 1 to 47, at the most, I would have a three of interest in this project. I'd give
Wait a minute. I keep getting threes.
I'd give it a two and a half.
Do you feel like that? That's like, is that something? I mean, not. I mean, Star Trek is just one big thing. I know. If you start cutting out, you know, every show has its own fandom, I think that's kind of crazy. But I mean, like, in as far as if a TNG fandom exists, like, do you think it hurts or helps us that we really don't have that?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, fan productions don't do either. I really feel like that they're just a labor of love from the people who do them.
They're tributes.
And a way to show your passion.
Valentine.
And I think, and I say honestly, all power to the people that do them. And honestly, if one came out that was a TNG, I would check it out. I would watch it. You know, and that would probably be the end of it. For me, as far as I'm concerned, anyways.
No, well, I mean, viewers, just like we need listeners, are always an important thing. So Darren, do you think TNG, you know, does that say less about our thing, or do we just celebrate TNG in a different way?
Well, I have a Star Wars analogy, which actually makes sense. Go with me. So
as long as it's not Animorphs.
One day, gosh, no. So one day, I'd love to be able to have my own R2-D2 unit. And I know a lot of people who build their own. And I know some that build other R2 units like R5 or other things like that. And it always strikes me, if you're going to put all the time and energy into an R2, why not make it R2-D2? Like, why make it something else? And again, it's all personal preference, and other people make their own droids and they do custom stuff, which is totally fine. Some people want to do original things. It's the same thing, I think, a lot with fan films. I mean, you have fan films, but in the bubble of that is just film in general. So if you're going to put all this time and effort into a sci-fi film, it's the same kind of question. Do you want to do your own story and have something that you can show and you can modernize and you can share? Or do you want to put it into someone else's intellectual property like Star Trek, where you're going to be a lot more limited in what you can do with it? You're still putting the same amount of effort in, but what do you get out of that? And I think that's a question that all producers have to decide on, you know, when they're approaching like fan film territory. I think trying to keep this as a evergreen podcast that can be relevant after many years, you know, now is not exactly the healthiest time for fan films, at least in the Star Trek world. But if there was one going on, most likely it's going to be going on in my neighborhood because I do live in Southern California. So I would probably contribute more my personal help rather than money at this point, just because you're a little more invested, literally just putting yourself as a contributor.
Yeah. I it's one of the things I feel like I would want a 24th century / TNG era, like TV Star Trek TNG era fan production, but I'm not sure what I want that. Like, I don't necessarily need the big, you know, movie or the TV series or episodes is what I'm trying to say. I don't know, episodes, you know, it's not really TV. It's not going to be on the TV. But anyway, but like just something, even a left field, like I don't even know what I'm thinking, but it'd just be nice to have something cool that's like, yeah, see, people still like TNG. But of course, you know, here at Earl Grey, this is just our topic of the week. You know, obviously if folks really want to get these discussions, there is the official XNR podcast here on Trek.fm, or there's also Continuing Mission, which is about all the fan productions of Star Trek that are out there. And that's another great podcast here on the network. But other than those three podcasts, fan productions are not the only thing we've been talking about this week on the network. And here's what you may have missed this week on Trek. FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, literary treks.
It is very much every one of the characters, you know, who finds themselves sort of pulled into the conflict that's at the heart of this story. They are reacting to a fear of the other.
Meta treks.
He gets all the way over to me and he goes, "Well, if it isn't Manu, blah, blah, blah. And then he elbows me and he winked. And I immediately felt like I was a part of the team, and it was Uncle Eastwood, and, you know, it was a great way for him to just welcome me to the set, you know.
The Ready Room.
And they'll scare two of their friends, and they'll scare two of their friends, and before you know it, everyone's afraid.
Now that sounds like a pyramid scheme of fear, exactly.
Pyramid scheme of fear, I love it.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out these shows to get in on the daily Trek talk. You'll find them in iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Windows Podcast Directory for Xbox and Zune. Visit the Trek.fm website for the full Trek experience. You can view our podcast directory to stream the audio from all of our shows. If you would like to contact us, just go to trek.fm/contact. From there, choose Message to a Trek FM Show and select Earl Grey. These messages will be relayed by Starfleet to the three of us. In social media, you'll find us on facebook.com/trekfm or join our Facebook listener discussion group called the Babel Conference. Find it by searching the Babel Conference on Facebook. Now let's take a moment to talk about our sponsor this week, audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to read but never thought you'd have time for. This is the premier source for audiobooks, with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, and even some of the most famous Star Trek books like Prime Directive, Federation, and Spock's World, Audible has something for everyone. Now, as a Trek FM listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice, along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. So give it a try today. Catch up on all those classic Star Trek books you've yet to read. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank Audible for supporting Earl Grey and Trek FM. There's one more way you can directly help us to keep Earl Grey coming to you each and every week, and that's through becoming a patron of Trek FM. By visiting patreon.com/trekfm, you can choose among various pledge levels and receive rewards for becoming a Trek FM patron. These rewards let you inside the observation lounge of our network and make it possible for us to distribute all our great content. So please become a patron and visit patreon.com/trekfm today.
All right, Darren. So if Michael and Denise Akuda want to reach you for a private discussion, where can you be found on the interwebs?
That doesn't sound like a good thing. No, they can find me on Twitter under username Dr. Sci-Fi. That's DrSciFi. Or my new Twitter handle, 1UpDan. That's the number one.
Whoa.
Just kidding. It's my fan production, 1UpFan. That's the number one and an F. And they can also find me talking about 70s before fan films could even happen because it was still on the air, talking with my co-host Aaron Harvey about Star Trek the Animated Series in our bi-weekly podcast, Saturday Morning Trek.
Now, I am interested in Saturday Morning Trek's thoughts about what your fan production would look like. What is the fan production of TAS? So, Daniel?
I think we did an episode about that. We've done a couple episodes.
It's a flip book, I think.
Stop doing the Marvel intro, Darren. All right, Daniel, if folks want to talk to you about where you can help them find continuity in their own lives, where can they find you?
They can get a hold of me on Twitter at 1UpDan. That is the number one and the letter D, as in Darren doesn't know what he's talking about.
All right. See, this is what fan productions do. They break people apart. And if folks want to talk to me about how you can hire me to be your head writer for your fan production, you can contact me on Twitter at NC Public Servant. That's NC for nothing but continuity. You don't need Daniel. There's only one guy you need on our own.
Wouldn't that be NBC? I mean, you're going in.
No, Darren, that's a corporation.
Territories.
What are you doing?
Now we're definitely getting sued.
All right. Well, I have to go fill out these forms, apparently, for doing this podcast.
Sorry.
But you can find us here next week. Until then, don't sue us.
Please.
Thank you.
Fire.